Hello, everybody. This is the Monday Night Pod, Tyler and Fenske. Tonight, we're going to be digging into Psalm 63 with the topic of inside out.
Yeah, so we kicked off tonight with just the example of in training in the Marine Corps, you know, you get guys that drop for, you know, they're not physically qualified, or guys that are academic failures, or, you know, integrity violations, right? But the number one way that guys don't make it is just what's called failure to adapt, which is that they're not getting things mentally, right? Meaning that it all starts with a shift in the mind. So the initial training, really, the first 10 weeks or 13 weeks is has very little to do with actual skills of being a Marine. It's more just about the mindset and how you think and instilling discipline in a different mindset, because out of that, then now the skills can actually be taught and guys are effective. So we talked about tonight was that how on a much bigger and more important scale, that's what you're doing as a believer in then stepping into maturity and power in your Christian walk. It's going to have to come from the inside out. That's going to have to come from your mind being changed. And we started in Ephesians 4:17, so it says, so I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. That's a key point right there, because it notes the no longer live as they do in the futility of their thinking. So I got a problem with your ways, but the root of your ways is in your thoughts. That's why if you do something dumb, I would say to you, what were you thinking, right? Okay, so it says they are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. And we talked about the hardening of the heart about a month ago on the pod, where the hardening of the heart is not that you're struggling to do right, but it's you're committed to doing evil. Mm. And if you harden your heart, God will turn it to stone. Mm. So now their hearts are hardened, and then it says, having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. So continual lust for more, there's a law of accommodation in effect there, where response to stimulus decreases over time. So what was causing an effect at one time is not enough anymore. It has to escalate and escalate and escalate, and that's what sets their life on an ultimate just path to destruction. Okay, so it says, you, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So made new in the attitude of your minds and to put on the new self. Put it on. Mm. Right? Romans 12 tells you that therefore I beseech you, brethren, right, by the mercies of God, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to the Lord. This is your reasonable act of service. Then it tells you in verse 2, it says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. That's very important. Right? So you're not shifting your thinking around the comings and goings of this world or your current circumstances in your life or what's trendy in the culture, but rather but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So if your mind's not being renewed, then you won't even be able to understand what God's will is for your life. We talked about that tonight, you know, what is success? Success is understanding what God's purpose is for your life and being able to walk in that. Mm. And that's different for everybody. But what God has set before you, being able to understand that and then walk in that, well, you're not going to even know what God's will is unless you are renewing the mind. Okay, so this is a message that if you're not saved, okay. But this is a message that is you're saved, but you're just lacking the power that you should have in your life. You're lacking the wisdom and discernment that you should have in your life as a believer. And it comes down to now, how do you renew the mind? How is that actually happening?
Yeah. Well, we go further into that, you know, just with the templates that Jesus gave us for how to do that. And we'll walk that through in a second. But I think Satan is a lot craftier and a lot smarter and a lot better of a salesman than we give him credit for, because mm-hmm. he realizes that if I can neutralize the mind, I can neutralize the man, right? And you talked about, you know, the mind and the you know, response to stimulus decreases over time. So if I can just subject this human being to enough sin patterns, eventually their brain turns off and it's not a thought process. They're literally not thinking at all. They've been completely neutralized, right? And Satan's so smart in that, because a lot of times when he sells us on a bag of goods or sells us on sin, he doesn't even tell us the price of it, right? Any normal person, when they're buying something, ultimately the final objection is going to be what?
Price.
Price. What is it going to cost me, right? With Satan, he makes the offer look so good.
Right.
I don't even care about the price. I don't even care what it's going to cost me, right? And so we buy into it without even thinking about the price or the cost in whole. And that's where we find ourselves, if we're not careful, in this trap where it's like, I can be saved, but I have zero power and zero authority in my walk with Christ, because I'm not doing the work inside out to walk in that and renew my mind. It, one of the things we're going to get to soon, it's an active process. The process, do not conform any longer to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, right? Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You talk about it tonight, it's that transform, it's a metamorphosis, it's a process, right? And it's something that we have to do continually and purposefully.
You know, that word there, the transform, right? That's metamorpho in the Greek, where we get the word metamorphosis from, right? That's what Tyler's saying, right? So that's what the word's saying, is you can have a metamorphosis of the mind, right? And how's that's going to occur? So if you look at John 17, that's where Jesus says, sanctify them by the truth. So sanctify, set apart for sacred use or make holy. So we're talking about acquiring wisdom and thinking with a different mind, thinking of a different mind in the world. So how then are you set apart? So it says, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. That's really important, because that means that there is absolute truth. Mm-hmm. It's not how you feel. It's not your emotions. It's not the like we saw in Romans 12, the comings and goings of this world. But there is absolute truth. I, the Lord, do not change, as he says in Malachi, right? Think about that. God does not evolve. His name is I Am, okay? And John 8:31 tells you that if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That verse 32 is quoted a lot. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Skipping over 31 a lot, which saying it starts with, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth. So hold to my teaching. You have to know what that is. Mm-hmm. You have to know the word of God for that process of actually knowing the truth and then to be set free. And that's the problem that a lot of Christians have. Once again, we're talking to Christians here. They don't have any framework. They're biblically illiterate, as the word would say. They're carnal Christians. Right, they have nothing to hold their decisions or ideas or attitudes against, because they don't know the word of God. And that's why they pray and they don't get any answers to it. And that's why their life lacks wisdom and discernment. And that I'm not talking about the people always just sitting in the pews either. Sometimes up on stage, there's an absolute lack of wisdom and discernment, where you would say, what were you thinking? Right? So that's what has to be established, is that framework of knowing the word of God so that you hold to my teaching. We said, as in, you know, Proverbs 2, before we get to the verse for this week, it says, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God, which then it tells you in Proverbs 3 is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. Mm-hmm. Better returns than gold. Mm-hmm. Is being able to have that wisdom, which, you know, once again, a good definition of wisdom is being able to think with the mind of God. Yeah. So you're plugging into the mind of God with things, not your own mind. You're syncing up with God, right? You're building that connection so you can see things from God's perspective. Not just you. And then that finally leads us to our verse for this week, which is from Proverbs 63 as we go through, or excuse me, Psalm 63 as we go through the Psalms here. It says, oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. Earnestly I seek you. Not when it's convenient, Not when you have the time. Not when it, you know, you felt like it. But earnestly, I seek you. So in this continuum of needing to be changed from the inside out by the renewing of the mind, how am I going to renew the mind? I have to know the Word of God. How am I going to know the Word of God? By earnestly seeking God. Now that is down to your execution, right? Because you've been given free will. So this is your responsibility on your end, right? So God's given you the tools. Now you have to execute.
Yeah. And thank God that he makes it plain for us. He's given us his word, right? And all we have to do is just, like it says, earnestly I seek you, right? And if you seek for it, he literally promises you, you will find it.
Yes.
Right?
Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be filled.
Absolutely. So then it just comes down to the fundamentals of how can I earnestly seek you, right? What's the how to this? You brought up the first step would be an example out of Mark 1. Solitary
place. Yeah, you see Jesus' solitary places in Mark 1. You see lonely places in Luke 5. Matthew 6, you're told to go into the back room, close the door. So you're seeing what in common?
There's a quiet place. Mm-hmm. And there's aloneness.
Yeah. Privacy. Quiet alone. Yep.
Absolutely.
Quiet alone.
So that's step number one. Find a place where you can be quiet. There's silence. There's no distractions. Your phone's away from you, right? And it's just you, right? Just you and God, right? And from there, once you can just establish that, it's important to have some sort of frequency and consistency with it, right? Because the only way that you're going to establish a habit, earnestly I seek you, right? So how do I do that? I'm alone and I'm quiet. From that, how to continually transform my mind, right? The metamorphosis that happens inside out. It's happening consistently, right? And you made a great point tonight. If anything important should be done before when?
10 a.m.
10 a.m.
Yeah, and that's my opinion. That's not from the Word of God, right? But that's, you know, that's my take on if you're doing something daily, then it needs to be done before 10 a.m.
Because it's a priority.
Right.
Right. Exactly. So that's step two, making it a priority.
Yeah.
You're having some sort of consistency with this.
Right.
And over time, like anything with consistency, you'll eventually see a shift in your mind in overall.
You're making it a habit.
Yeah.
Right. You're told day and night in Psalm 1, day and night in Joshua 1, three times a day in Daniel 6. My take on that is that if you are not at one, start there. People tend to, human behavior is like, everybody wants to go from like 0 to 60. So like, think of it, here's the athlete who's not eating a consistent diet period, and they want to go on macros. Like, it's not going to work, because you have to start with establishing some habits and developing some consistency. And now once you've nailed that, now you can start to progress to more advanced things like macros, and we're going to, you know, do things like body recomposition. So to use that example in the spiritual sense, instead of trying to jump in on two in a day, which may not be realistic if you have no prior habit, my opinion here is that to just start with one, nail one, nail 7 days a week, nail one. And then like any habit, if you can select a time to make that consistent, like I said before, 10 a.m. is my opinion on that, you're going to have much more success. And then doing it every day, every day, every day. Once you nail that, then you can start to go for two. That's my opinion on it. But once again, we're not taking away from the Word of God whatsoever. So if the Word's telling you day and night, yeah, that's what we're after. Just my opinion there is if you're at zero, nail that one.
Baby steps.
Right.
Yeah. And do not despise the day of small beginnings, right? And so I think a lot of times when people are either new to the faith or maybe they've been walking with the Lord, they just haven't been made aware of, hey, this is a good foundation, a good discipline to have to grow your walk with Christ. A lot of times it can be so daunting, and I look at the whole Bible, and that's human nature. Like, instead of just going verse by verse and thinking that way, it's all at once, right? You look at the whole obstacle as an obstacle to overcome. It's like, hey, just a little bit at a time. And understand, this isn't the way of the world, okay? This isn't behavior modification. This is from the inside out, transforming your entire spirit and molding it into who the Lord really made you to be.
Because if you're in your quiet times, what are you getting at? The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit.
Right?
Absolutely.
Which is what puts this all together. Right? Luke 11 tells you, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. That's a teaching on the Holy Spirit, to ask for the Holy Spirit, as Jesus tells you in Luke 11. Mm-hmm. How much more so will my Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So ask, and that's what's going to put it all together, because the Holy Spirit, as the Lord tells you, is going to teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I've said to you. So that's going to make your mind just a catalog of the Bible, where you can learn that at just an IQ level that is beyond anything we know in the natural. Mm-hmm. That the Spirit's just going to show things to you, reveal it to you. This verse makes you think of that verse. That verse makes you think of that verse. And that's why I think it's so important that you have a physical Bible. Because when you're on your phone Bible,
no.
I can't stand that. You can't mark it. You need a physical Bible where you can mark it, you can annotate it. And at least for me, it's like that. It's a photographic memory. I can remember where it is on the page mm-hmm. in my Bible. And that's how I can, you know, jump from verse to verse. And basically, like I've said before in the pod, my goal being like, I'm going to be my own concordance. Mm. When I did that, when I had that focus, then it was like, the word came much more alive, because it was no verse was just standing as a verse. It was always, there was another verse to explain that further and to reveal it on another level, to seek that out, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. So, and that's all coming from just, here's my physical Bible where I can underline, I can annotate, and I'm writing other verses by that verse that I've read. And it's making that so much deeper, and that's all coming from the Holy Spirit. So you got to take your Holy Spirit into your quiet times with you. It can't just be a rushed, quick thing, or let me just quickly do this as my phone is buzzing, as there's noise over here. That quiet, alone, consistent, and you're asking for the Holy Spirit there, and you're asking the Spirit to reveal things to you on a spiritual level, to make the Word come alive. Living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. Those words are just lifting off the page now. And I'm not saying every quiet time is just going to be awesome, but it's so, so much better mm-hmm. when you focus it around, Lord, give me of the Holy Spirit and reveal your word to me. Earnestly, I seek you. Mm-hmm. Earnestly.
Yeah.
And like we said, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled. That's a promise from God. Mm-hmm. So if you earnestly seek him, you will find. Right?
Yeah.
God will show himself to you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Draw near to me, and I will draw near to you also. Right? And so, and it's a cool experience, because once you do see the word come alive, and you recognize from your own experience that it is completely living and active, right? And it will transform you. It will change you. It will help you think on a whole nother level, think with the mind of God. Once you experience that, it's easy to get hooked on it. And all of a sudden, you're just more invested, and you double down, and you grow and you mature more and more, right? There's a compound effect.
Yeah.
But to get to that point, the starting point, it requires humility. But first of all, you're going to take the time, right? And seek him and humble yourself enough to ask for wisdom, to ask for guidance, to ask for the Holy Spirit to lead you to all truth and remind you of everything he said. And from there, if you can just keep putting in that effort, like you said, the Lord promises you will be filled.
And you might have to throw out some objections too. Mm-hmm. A lot of people have little objections with quiet times, much like they do with things in life. I don't have time. Mm-hmm. Okay, wake up earlier. Mm-hmm. Or stay up later, so you can throw that one out. Or, you know, I was on vacation. Good solution we've used in here before is just, okay, vacation and there's a lot going on, it's noisy, whatever. Get outside and walk and pray. Find a quiet area, just walk and pray, right? But sometimes people talk about it like the same way they talk about going to the gym. Like, oh yeah, I'm looking to like get back in and I just haven't had the time. And oh, I know I should. Mm. This is why, if you don't have punch in your life right now, and you're not seeing your prayers answered and walking with any type of power or authority in your Christian life, and you don't have any wisdom or discernment beyond just an unbeliever. That's why you have to get into the Word and grow. That is what's going to renew your mind from the inside out. You have to be changed. Instead of always trying to go after behavior modification and legalism and trying to essentially just performance-based faith, where you're trying to do little circus acts to make God happy, which you think is making God happy, you need to be changed. You cannot do it on your own. You have to be changed. And that's going to come from the inside out. That's going to come from your exposure to the Word and the Holy Spirit, from syncing your mind up with the Lord.
Absolutely. This comes from 1 Timothy 4:8. It says, "For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promises for both the present life and the life to come," right? So yeah, working out, great. Taking your vitamins, great. When it comes to your quiet times, if you're a believer, this is that times a million, right? Because seeking first the kingdom, like, it is vital to your walk and to your growth and to your maturity. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, right? So if you can change the way you think just by seeking the Lord and humbling yourself to follow his way, all of a sudden you'll see that return, and all those other things in the natural will be amplified times a million, because you're different, right? And you're thinking on a whole nother level. You're thinking with the mind of God. So,
yeah. So that's the Monday Night Pod for this week. Tyler and Fenske. Hope everyone has a tremendous week. See you next week.